It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Rookies Only segment for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing outstanding, man. Thank you for asking. I am super excited to get into the Phoenix Suns 2024 NBA Draft. I pulled up all kind of stats on these guys for you. I think we're going to talk a little bit about the undrafted guy as well, because I'm super excited about him and his career overall. NBA basketball is back in full swing, as we talked about, games galore. The rookies from this class that we've previously talked about, like, you know, Eve Misi, who had 23 points, 12 rebounds, one block, one steal yesterday. Just this class is way better than the pundits gave it credit for, in my opinion. So super excited to talk basketball today. What about yourself?
Heck yeah, man. I mean, we're now finally talking about the guy I've wanted to talk about all along. The best player on earth. No, I'm just kidding. We get to talk about Ryan Dunn today. I did a lot of discourse about Ryan Dunn early in the season. Yeah, I'm sure some of it was probably premature about how much I've liked his, you know, development over, you know, the 2-4 months since being drafted. We get to talk also to Gadara, who is someone who I think is a very interesting player, and he's been very interesting in this kind of Phoenix Suns context. Yeah, man, I'm ready to jump into it.
Absolutely. I'm super excited about Ryan Dunn. You were jumping out of your seat, eyeballs glued to your laptop or TV or however you watch games. And you were completely over the moon about Ryan Dunn. For me, when Ryan Dunn was coming out of college, we're going to start there. Before we do, actually, I apologize. Before we get into the analysis, I just want to thank everybody who's been subscribing to the Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast. We're on the rookies only segment still until we get into the 2025 NBA draft class. Appreciate all of the people that have liked and subscribed, like Greg313. Justin Kessler recently, Mr. Test for Echo 2112. Really appreciate you guys for liking and subscribing to the channel. Also, become a channel member too, because then you can get access to all of our content early. All of the breakdowns you get immediately right after the cutting room floor before anybody else. You don't have to wait. And come draft time, that's going to be really valuable because these videos come out fast and furious. So really do appreciate you guys. Also, follow us on social media. You can find me, Digital Adele, anywhere social media is found under that moniker, Digital Adele. You can find me on playback.tv/5RSN as a contributor on the Five Reasons Sports Network, also in their Discord off the floor, and just been loving it, man. What about you, Matt? Where can they find you, follow you, and get more of your work?
At NPH underscore 824 underscore. That is my Twitter handle. I'm not on Blue Sky yet. I should probably get over there at some point. I have yet to make that move. HotOnHoops.com, MountainWestConnection.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com is places that you can find me, find all of my writing work. Obviously, with watchplayback.tv/5RSN, you can hear myself, Adele, and plenty of others from the Five Reasons Sports Network talk about the Miami Heat, no matter how frustrating they are in this current stage of Heat basketball. Let's jump into it, man.
Absolutely. Let's get right into it, man. Ryan Dunn, coming out of college, like I said, I didn't have as high of expectations as some people had for Mr. Dunn. And I knew he was a excellent defensive talent. His wingspan was problematic for offensive players of all skill level at the college level. And he was in the passing lanes. He was getting rebounds and did a lot of the dirty work. But I had kind of like a Matisse Thybulle vibe coming from Ryan Dunn. A lot of those types of guys, not just him. There's a lot of those guys that come out of college, can't play offense, and their careers really end prematurely. So I think I had him 47th or so, not 47th, like 37th on my big board. It wasn't high. I can go back and check the exact number, but I know it wasn't high. But I wasn't that high coming out of college because he could not shoot at all. And he shot low volume and he shot a terrible percentage. Also from the free throw line, wasn't great. So I just wasn't that high on him. But what are your thoughts? And then we'll talk about the regular season of the NBA. What are your thoughts on Ryan Dunn?
No, that was kind of the blueprint on him. I mean, he was, 6'7", 6'8", with a 7'2" wingspan. He was one of the best defensive playmakers in the entire country coming out of Virginia. Like, he led the ACC in blocks. He led block percentage. He was one of the best weak side rim protectors, at least in this most recent class, especially for someone at his position. Like, he was an exceptional, exceptional defender. But then when you talk about his limitations offensively, like, not a great ball handler, wasn't a good shooter. He shot 53% from the free throw line in college. He shot 23.5% from 3-point range on very low volume. It just wasn't like you didn't see the makings of someone who would be like a great offensive player. And like, kind of to your point, we've seen players like that over time where you're practically playing 4-on-5 with them on the floor. He went 28 in the draft. I thought it was a really interesting fit with Phoenix. Like, Phoenix was a team that I thought did a really good job this offseason. I know the Dunn pick was before everything happened in the offseason with free agency and whatnot, but they did a really good job with how limited they were with their cap space. Like, you know, they brought in Tyus Jones, they brought in Monty Morris to kind of fit into this roster that, you know, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, like, there wasn't a natural playmaker. I know Booker and Beal got a lot of those responsibilities last year. And then, they re-signed Royce O'Neal. Like, so you added Ryan Dunn to this kind of context. They added Mike Budenholzer as a head coach. He was a head coach that, you know, a lot of threes, a lot of, drop coverage defensively, like, those were kind of his offensive and defensive blueprints. I didn't expect Ryan Dunn to obviously be a 3-point shooter right away, but then that's kind of what he was. Like, he didn't shoot the ball well in summer league, but you can tell he was more willing to take threes. And then obviously at the start of the regular season and in preseason, like, he was just on fire. I know Water has reached its level a little bit, like 31.4% in the regular season so far. He was around 39-40% first 8 games of the season. And so that just kind of really made me jump off my seat in the sense that, like, I just didn't expect this at all. 2-3 months after being drafted, him being a 40% 3-point shooter, even for a relatively small sample, given his pedigree in college. But the defensive prowess that he had was certainly something that stood out the most, but it was just a matter of putting the offensive repertoire together. And that's something I think he's done a solid job of, at least more so than I thought at this stage, like, more so than I would have previously thought he would have had, you know, 15, 20 games into his career at this point.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, he was shooting the ball at like 40% to start the NBA season. What really got me was how he handled the ball. His ball handling as well was way better than expected. And that started in summer league. You could see his confidence just growing by leaps and bounds with his ball handling, ability to come off pick and rolls and make decisions, to ISO and get shots in the mid post. I mean, he from three, that was really impressive. The shooting as well, I kind of kept saying that I don't think it's going to last. But, you know, at the same time, he was really impressive in pulling it off, you know. And some of the stats, just to go along with that, in terms of what's happened, he's really kind of come back down to earth. I mean, he's only shooting 31.4% from three now on the season. And 41.1% from the field overall. And so that is kind of to be expected. But on a winning team like that, a team that has offensive firepower already, you really just need him to play lockdown defense, be in the passing lanes, get on the boards and harass people. The scoring was gravy. You know, it wasn't something that it's like Phoenix Suns are counting on that scoring or they won't be able to survive. But just another sample size for his shooting, though, is his woes from the 3-point line. His last five games, 0 for 1, 0 for 2, 1 for 4, 2 for 4, and 1 for 4. Like you said, water reaches its level and it came down, but that's not where his value is in terms of the Phoenix Suns and a contending team. His value is on the defensive end and on all of the little things, doing all the dirty work. So that's really where I'm at with Ryan Dunn. I think he's a better player than I thought. I think he has a higher ceiling offensively than I thought. But just the consistency isn't there right away. But if he can build off of it, if he's willing to work and maintain that form and really like, because muscle memory plays a big part of this. You can tweak things, you can change things with your motion and with your shot, but it's not going to stick and become muscle memory until he gets a full off season. So as long as he puts in that kind of work he did in those 2 months leading up to the season, he could be a real watch out type of guy in year two. Oso Igodoro was their next pick, and he played at Marquette. He had more of a facilitating point guard in Tyler Kolek. He had Cam Jones around him. He was touted as the elite passing big. That was what he was touted in college, as an elite passing big. I didn't see it in terms of him doing anything spectacular. He made the right reads and he made simple passes, but I never saw him as an elite passing big. What were your thoughts on Oso Igodoro?
That was kind of where I was at too. Like, he was a good, I mean, maybe we're talking about like in the construct, like relative to his position. Like, I thought he was maybe an elite, like not maybe not an elite passer, but like an above average passer for sure. Certainly one of the best passing bigs in this class. I never would have considered him as an elite passer. And I still don't, even though I have liked his playmaking a lot. Like, he hasn't gotten too much run with Phoenix so far, but I think in the minutes that we have seen from him, he has shown the playmaking ability and the ball handling ability for someone at his size and playing his position, like him, you know, being 6'10", 6'11", like he does have he is a very smart basketball player just with his IQ. It's not a great shooter. Like, you and I have made jokes before about his shooting form. It just doesn't look natural in any sense of the word. But he is a smart player. Like, he does have a good, you know, in-between touch. He is a good ball handler and a guy who can initiate, you know, dribble handoffs and whatnot. He can make those simple reads that you would want him to make and you would want players at his position to make. And he's doing that as a rookie. He's a very good cutter. So like he adds off ball value in that way. He can vertically space. He can be a lob threat. Like, so those are just some of the things that I like about him. I think he is like a solid, you know, potential backup big in the NBA. And I don't know if he will ever be a starter, but he does some of the things, some of the little things that not many bigs can do, just in terms of his ball handling, in terms of his playmaking. For someone as, you know, inexperienced as he is in terms of being an NBA player.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hear a lot of the things you're saying. I don't know if I agree with all of them. I thought he was just an average passer. I never thought of him as an above average passer. And I'll tell you why. Like, his passing accuracy wasn't great to me. But if it's like a little high low where he throws like a bounce pass to a cutter on the baseline, he can do that. But it's got to be a simple read. It can't be like he's looking through multiple reads or anything like that. And it can't be anything incredibly difficult, because I noticed every game I watched, every single game I watched, at least once a game, he's throwing the ball into the stands. Like, it wasn't just once. It happened every game, at least one time a game. So I'm not saying he's a bad passer. I think he can be functional and help, you know, dribble handoff and do a couple of the simple things. I just don't think it's what the national TV audience made it out to be. I remember somebody coming at me in my mentions talking about Bill Raftery says he's one of the best passers in college basketball in a long time. And I'm like, I love Raftery. I love his commentating. But like, from a basketball evaluation standpoint, I'm not turning to Raftery to evaluate a prospect's ability to facilitate or be an elite this or that at the next level. I just am not. But so I think he's a good player. He's got extremely long arms. He's got the length. He's got the size that you want in order to be able to play the position. I want to talk about something real quick that's actually kind of annoying me from a production standpoint of the show. I know this isn't basketball related. I'm trying to push our show out to Twitter, which is now called X. But Elmo nerfs links. If you put a link to another site, he completely nerfs it. And before, it was called out that if you put it in the original tweet, it's not going to get aggregated. It's not going to get pushed out in the algorithm. And their workaround would be to reply to the tweet, your own tweet, right? Now it auto deletes your reply. He's auto deleting your content if you don't pay for the stupid blue check mark. I just tried to do it and it keeps saying your tweet has been deleted. It won't let me do it. So shout out to Elmo. Anyway, moving on. Also, Iguodala, I'm not really that big of a fan of his. I didn't think his game was going to really translate at the NBA level. He's played 14 games. He gives you a little bit of rebounding. His free throw percentage is better than I anticipated at the next level. He's shooting 81.8% from the free throw line. And it's not high volume. So I wouldn't get too excited about how well he's shooting from the free throw line, because he's averaging 0.8 attempts per game. He doesn't really get to the foul line, doesn't really draw contact. He's only playing 16 minutes per game on a stacked Phoenix team. So that's to be expected. The rebounding numbers are interesting, because if you go to the per 36 minutes, he's averaging 9.2 rebounds per 36 minutes, which is excellent. And that's what you can really expect for him out of his career. I think his offense is going to be limited, but I think he can do some of the hustle things with his length. I am concerned because he's not overly physical. That's also a concern of mine. Is that he's not overly physical. Do you have any final thoughts before I move on to their undrafted?
No. I think you kind of hit it on the head. Like, I'm with you in those areas.
Awesome. So let's talk about their undrafted player, who is one Jalen Bridges, one of my favorite players in this draft. It's a blessing and it's a curse that he got drafted to the Phoenix Suns. He got a two-way contract out of Phoenix. I thought he should have been drafted. And with players like Bronny James getting drafted, I don't want to harp on that. We've covered that ground multiple times. But I thought Jalen Bridges could really help a team right away, whether it was the middling Miami Heat or whether it was any of these other teams in the East that are struggling. I think he could help them. He's an older player, 6'8". Let me just put that out there. 6'8", 225 pounds, 23 years old from Baylor, and he is tearing up the G League right now. Absolutely balling in the G League. Now, that being said, G League competition isn't great. But he shot 40% for his career in college. Coming into the G League, through five games playing about 30 minutes, which is about what he played in his career at Baylor, 30 minutes a night, he's shooting 44.4% from three on 9 attempts per game. So it's not an aberration. He's done this his whole career. He's a knockdown shooter at 6'8". Gives you defensive versatility with his length. He's not going to give you a ton off the dribble, but he makes excellent cuts. He's a team player, never complains. The kid absolutely never complains. I said this to people about Stephon Castle's personality, and I'm going to tell you about Jalen Bridges. I can't tell you how valuable that is in a world of egos in the NBA to have a player that just does his role and never complains. He's an excellent teammate, Jalen Bridges. But back to his G League stats, 19.8 points per game. Like I said, 44.4% from three, 48.1% from the field, five rebounds per game, only turns the ball over 1.4 times per game. And they get loose in the G League, so I can see him turning the ball over more, but he's just not that type of player. He's very disciplined. What are your thoughts on one Jalen Bridges?
I mean, he's been a monster so far with the Valley Suns. He has a pecking order to climb.
That's the problem.
In terms of getting NBA minutes. But, yeah, I mean, I think you were the one that, like, turned me on to him during this last draft cycle. I mean, like, I knew of him, but, like, right, as, like, a legitimate, solid potential second round prospect. You know, averaging 20 a game, has a good 3-and-D skill set. He's been awesome with the Valley Suns so far, and I just don't know if he's going to get that NBA opportunity yet. He's able to get it soon. He's on a two-way contract with them. He's been impressing. He's been one of the more impressive, you know, rookies in the G League so far. I'm very interested to see if they want him to add to his skill set. Just in terms of, this is me just, you know, thinking out loud, like maybe they want him to become, not that he's a bad defender or not, he's definitely not, but like an even better defender if he wants to improve his rebounding. Like, what do they want to expand to his game in terms of just him being a 3-and-D player? Because I don't know, like, just in this context, not that his current skill set isn't fit for the NBA, but like, what are they having him work on in the G League to potentially improve and get those minutes is really what I'm just interested in, because he's been balling out, but I'm hoping he's able to get this opportunity sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. And when you hit on the defensive stuff, that's one of the things that I really liked about him as well, is he's a willing defender. He uses his length well. He can size up as that small ball four. He's not going to be a small ball five for you, but he's a small ball four. And he's a knockdown shooter, man. He'll shoot on the move. He'll shoot off the catch. He's not going to give you, like I said, a lot of movement off the dribble. He did do it a little bit at Baylor, but he doesn't do much off the dribble. But I like him a lot. I think the Phoenix Suns have a bright, bright future. I don't see a path for him on that roster, so I know he has a two-way. Does he end up somewhere else? I think so. I think he has to. Because I don't see Phoenix ever giving him a standard. Where would he play? Who would he play over on that stacked roster? They're not
Kevin Durant, no.
Kevin Durant, that's right.
No, I don't know. I mean, maybe he gets minutes over, like, I'm just trying to think, like, maybe if someone, it like has to be like an injury, right? Kind of similar to the Heat in that sense.
It would have to be injury.
Or injuries.
Plural, yes. Multiple injuries. Let's do this. We're going to play a game. We're going to go to the end of the 2024 NBA draft, and we're going to go in reverse order. Should this player have been drafted over Jalen Bridges? You game for it? Are you up for this? Can you handle it?
Yes, I can. Although I will try to think about fit.
Of course. Of course. Fit matters. Otherwise, you're in the same boat as Phoenix, and you have a duplication, and he wouldn't get on the floor. So I get it. The New York Knicks, Ariel Hakporti. Three-point shooting, 6'8", can rebound, play defense.
I would probably say yes, but I understand why New York went that route.
What other bigs do they have on that roster other than, did Hakporti, did he get a two-way or is he on the roster?
Let's take a look. I mean, obviously he's been getting minutes just because, like, you know, Mitch has been down with an injury.
Right.
Achiuwa has been hurt. He's been banged up for this entire season. Isaiah Hartenstein's in Oklahoma City. Like, I understand why they went that route. It's kind of been like, he's been kind of filling in those minutes to my knowledge, along with Jericho Sims, who I, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Jericho Sims has also dealt with an injury.
Let me do this. So Hakporti's played 8 games, 9 minutes, 1.5 points per game, 2.1 rebounds per game.
Okay. I guess he hasn't played as much as I thought.
He hasn't, and it hasn't been great. Precious Achiuwa was hurt. Robinson's hurt, but Sims has been playing over him.
Yeah.
Now, on that roster, coming off the bench, you have Cameron Payne, Pacome, Ryan, and Toppin, and McBride. So he probably wasn't going to play over McBride.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
I'm going to play over McCollum either because he was their number one pick. So I guess I like the player better, but I like the fit for what New York was doing getting the big man. You know what I mean?
That's kind of where I'm.
What about the Grizzlies? They selected Ulrich Chomchu, who I love. He's also in the G League. And he ended up being traded to the Raptors via the Timberwolves. Yeah. So Ulrich Chomchu for the Raptors or Jalen Bridges?
Probably Bridges, but
yeah. And I love Chomchu. And the thing is for the Raptors, I'm not a big believer in Grady Dick. Like, I'm not a big fan.
I've been very impressed with him this season.
Well, so this is what I was going to say. So this season, he's played better. His three-point shooting is still well below what you expected coming out of college, like 34% on the season. His usage has been really high, so that's why I believe his numbers are going up. And you're getting about three rebounds per game out of Grady. He's only shooting 41% from the field. I kind of think he's empty calories, my man. I mean, you're not, he's a number one pick, so we're comparing him to an undrafted guy, but I'm just not a fan of him. I'm not really a fan of Grady Dick. They got Davion Mitchell. They got Mogbo, Shahid, Garrett Temple. I think absolutely I would have taken Bridges and given him a standard over Temple with what he's provided this in his career. So I think I would have picked him over Chomchu. Kevin McCullers traded to the Knicks. I don't think he has a fit in the NBA. We talked about him before. I just don't think he has a fit in the NBA. So I would have taken Bridges over him. Bronny James or Jalen Bridges? Who you got?
Bronny, no question. No. I'd say Bridges.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think Jalen Bridges would be better than Bronny. Anton Watson for the Celtics. Can you imagine if 40% from three Jalen Bridges were on the Boston Celtics? Holy crap.
I mean, again, I don't know how much run he would have gotten. He probably would have been.
It doesn't matter. If someone gets hurt and they need to call him up, he wouldn't miss a beat on that offense, right? Like,
yeah.
Just park him in the corner. How many corner threes do you think he would hit if he did get axed? You know what I mean? Especially playing against the Miami Heat.
Jesus, you would have 28 on with five or six threes against Miami.
Oh, my God. He would have been an all-star playing against Miami. Detroit Pistons select one Cam Spencer, who had a 51-point game in the G League last night.
Well, Memphis.
Oh, yeah. Like he got traded to Memphis. That's right. Via the Timberwolves.
I mean, I probably would have drafted
Bridges Cam too. Cam or Bridges, yeah. Because here's the thing with Cam. He's going to make a monster showing in every G League appearance he has because of his experience. And the fact that it's a step down in athleticism from the NBA, it allows him to be able to navigate where he's comfortable. One thing you saw in Summer League with Cam, he just wasn't near the athlete to be able to do what he did in college at the NBA level. So I like Bridges as well. Quentin Post. So Quentin Post, you know, his pick is really funny. Traded to the Thunder, then the Blazers, then the Warriors. So, but anyway, he would ended up on the Warriors. Jalen Bridges, I thought, would fit them spectacularly as well. But I know they needed big men help. But Quentin Post, I wasn't really a fan. What about you? Who you got?
I would have drafted Bridges over.
We are getting pretty high up in the draft. You see what I mean? Like
we're still in the 50s. We're still in the 50s.
But I'm saying we are getting pretty high up in the draft. We are in the 50s and we're still taking play. Melvin Ejinke isn't even in the NBA. He's back in Europe. Pick 51, Melvin Ejinke.
Nowadays that there aren't such thing as draft and stash guys in the sense that like guys are playing overseas because of how like two-way contracts and now with the new CBA, how, you know, second round exceptions, like maybe it's just like developmental thing, but it felt more, I guess maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe I'm not, but like, it just felt more popular, like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
It definitely was
with these new, you know, alleyways for players, second round picks to become NBA players.
Right.
Or to be on the roster or like spend plenty of time in the G League while also spending plenty of time up in the NBA. Like, just, I find that interesting, but that's neither here nor there.
Absolutely. No, that's very interesting. And the other thing with that is I think there's just the style of play in the NBA has gone more towards the freedom of movement, less physically demanding defensively. So a lot of the European players that used to have that reputation to not be able to do it physically, a lot of the European players are getting a better shot from the coaches in the NBA. But yeah, Melvin went back to Europe, isn't playing. I would have absolutely have drafted Jalen Bridges over Melvin. I had him higher on my big board. Like, I liked Melvin's potential, but yeah. Enrique Freeman for the Pacers. Now, they needed big man help, so fit is the issue here.
Yeah, I was... I did like Enrique Freeman late in the process.
I like
when kind of in this range. It's in this range too.
Yeah, he's in the range. Would you have taken Bridges or Freeman? You got to make a choice. You can't sit on the fence.
I admit, hey, listen, these teams have a couple of minutes to make their second round picks. Why can't I? No, I would probably lean Bridges, but again, like, you already have Johnny Furphy there. Like,
that's exactly it. A lot of duplication.
So maybe in that sense, I would go Freeman.
I would probably go Enrique Freeman for fit, but in a universe where they already had bigs, I'm taking Bridges because that up-tempo offense where he shoots the percentages he does from three, he would be an absolute asset coming off the bench, helping that team out.
Well, again, like the defense too.
And defense. Well, they don't defend though. They don't care about defense.
But I'm saying he helps them defensively.
He'd be the only guy. It would literally be, you know, 4-on-5 defensively. He's out there trying his hardest.
TJ McConnell, like, pestering dudes.
Yeah.
80 feet from the rim. That's it.
He does pester them, but then they ultimately get in the sets, get mismatches, and bury him in the post. But,
Well, I know one franchise who doesn't do that.
That's because they can't make layups, Matt. That's because they can't make layups.
It's a big problem.
All right, we're going to stop this little exercise at pick 44 because I don't think I would have drafted him over any of the guys at pick 44. So we're going to speed this up. Tristan Newton, yes or no?
Would I take Bridges over him?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I would take him over Newton as well. Newton was a good college player because he was he could do a little bit of everything, but he wasn't really great at anything. In the NBA, Bridges has a skill that is excellent, which is his shooting, and he's going to play defense, and he's going to rebound and do all those things. Antonio Reeves, yes or no?
Yes.
Over Bridges, yes, right?
No. I'm just thinking, like, yes, I would take Bridges over Reeves. Sorry, I should have.
I gotcha. I think so as well. This one's closer to me because of Reeves' ability to score. He had a really excellent game when he got an opportunity for the Pelicans, but he's kind of come back to earth and people have kind of figured out his game. And they've really limited what he can do. But I agree. I think Bridges has the potential to be an elite role player. I don't think there's anything that Antonio Reeves does that's elite, but This one's actually a tougher one for me. It's a toss up. It's a little, it's a coin flip in my opinion. Cam Christie, are you betting on his upside over Jalen Bridges' experience and consistency?
I'd rather have Bridges.
Me, same thing. 100%. I'd rather have Bridges. Jamal Shed. Who would you rather have?
I would take Shed.
I would actually take Bridges.
I just love Jamal Shed. I'm
I know you do. You absolutely do. And I know people do.
He's so small, but I just love
tiny. And he's not great offensively. He's not even very good offensively, in my opinion. He's just very solid. Like, he's very steady. Doesn't really do anything to wow you at all on the court. Defensively, he's a bulldog, though.
I need at least one of those guys on my team.
Yeah. Jalen Bridges is also a dog, and he can shoot. And he's 6'8 with wingspan. So I don't know, man. I'm taking Bridges on that one.
I never said I was smart.
The reason we stopped at 44.
On the record.
That's right. You don't have to be smart around here. You just have to have an opinion and be willing to stick to it. The reason we stopped at 44, it was Pelle Larsson, and there's no universe in which we would have picked Jalen Bridges over Pelle Larsson.
Here's the question for you. Counter question. Would you take Keshawn Johnson or Jalen Bridges?
Ooh, that's tough. Huh. So the question I guess I have is that shot real from Keshawn Johnson? Is the improvement real enough? Because he has an elite skill, Keshawn, and that is his athletic ability to finish at the rim, draw fouls. He also is a dog defender. He's got excellent length, like long arms, gets in the passing lanes. He's a great teammate also. That's a really tough one. Like, how did he go undrafted also? Jeez, oh man.
We've been asking that question for 4 months. I was asking that at the time. I remember, I've said it on here before. I remember tweeting out which players I was like, oh, look, just look and see who's available at 44, which players I want. Keshawn Johnson and Larsson were both on that list, and yet that he ended up with both of them. Just one of them happened to be undrafted.
Yeah, that's a tough one, dude. I don't know. Who would you take? I'll flip it back on you.
I would take Johnson.
That's kind of where I'm leaning too, but I don't know if it's my Heat bias or not.
I think just because of what he can do defensively, like his versatility and his positional versatility, I think is something that is like.
But Bridges does that too, though.
I don't think it's quite to the level of Johnson is where I'm getting at.
The physicality isn't. Like, you know what I mean? Keshawn's more physical. Definitely got more vertical athleticism.
Which is something.
I don't know, dude. That's tough. It's so difficult. Career.
Bridges' shot is better. It's just better.
That's what I was going to say. Career 41% three-point shooter for his career.
Keshawn is shooting 40% from three in the G League, and he was a passable three-point shooter in his last year in Arizona. We still have no idea how real that is yet.
I know that's.
And again, I say that because I watched him for 4 years at San Diego State.
Right.
And it was not pretty offensive.
Yeah, he had that backpack on.
Yeah, I mean, still kind of does.
Still kind of does.
But like, yeah, I've talked about this with our guy Major Passons. Please go
check Major Money.
Him and I co-host a Skyforce podcast where we just talk about Keshawn Johnson for 30 minutes every episode. But the thing I've talked about with Major before is I think Keshawn is more comfortable with his shot making.
Yeah.
Now compared to even when he was at Arizona.
Right.
Like he just looks more comfortable. It's more fluid, I think, with him now. We still have no idea how real that actually is yet.
For sure.
Completely with you there. I need a much bigger sample of that to somewhat believe in it. Consistent.
Yeah.
Because even in the G League, it's been up and down. Like, he's been good lately, but I know there's been some games where it hasn't consistently fallen. That's going to happen with every shooter, but, like, I just wonder what he ends the season at there. And then, you know, over his next, you know, couple of seasons, two, three, four seasons, if he's playing in an NBA rotation with the Heat or someone else. I don't know why I just put that in the universe.
You're breaking
I wonder
my
how
heart.
Much – I'm just saying, like, with an NBA team, regardless who that is, over the next two, three, four seasons, where that is at, what his volume is like, how comfortable he is with it.
That's on almost four attempts per game, too.
Yeah. And so it's like, I'm curious to see where that ends up at over time.
His stats are unbelievable.
Everything else I like about him, just with, again, the athletically, defensively, like, he's a human highlight reel. On both ends of the floor.
His stats are unbelievable, dude. 24 points per game in the G League, 57% from the field, almost 58. You know, the 40% from three.
He's been unbelievable.
No, I almost said 5.5 rebounds, 8.9 rebounds per game. 3.2 of them are on the offensive glass. Yeah, man, Keshawn Johnson, I'd probably pick him over Jalen Bridges at this point. I'd probably take him at this point over Bridges. But if you think about it, those two guys, both of them, I think we would have taken over all those guys we mentioned other than Pelle Larsson.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So outstanding find by the Phoenix Suns. The only question that I have is, are they going to convert him to a standard, or is his two-way going to expire and he's going to seek playing time elsewhere in the 2025 year, because the 2025 draft class is loaded with players. And that's the trouble with some of these guys. If you get caught on a two-way and then the draft is loaded and then there's only a few spots and you haven't proven yourself, if a team invests draft capital, they're not going to play him. So that's my only question and concern. I really appreciate everybody that's stopping by. Don't forget to hit the like button. Leave us a comment. I want to hear from you. You know, really appreciate all of you. Appreciate Jason Kessler for subscribing and all of our channel members as well. So if you want to get your content early, become a channel member, only $2.99 a month. Me and Matt are going to do this twice a week. We're going back to our roots twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday. We're going live. That's right. 2-2. Do you have any parting thoughts on the Phoenix Suns as a whole in their draft class? And anything you want to talk about in terms of the NBA that we haven't covered yet today?
I guess my final thoughts on the Suns are you nailed this offseason.
Yes, they really did.
They nailed this offseason. Like, again, I was high on them in the sense that I liked what they did around the fringes with what they were able to do, and I think they nailed it with. Again, it's not. We won't know. Again, you and I say this all the time. We won't really know how these guys end up, you know, until 2, 3, 4 years from now. It's way too early to make any final conclusions. But I just think, on the whole, I think they did a really good job, among the best in the league.
Absolutely. I thought they had an outstanding draft. And as we keep coming back to this draft class, the 2024 draft class, is going to be one of those classes where they're going to be like, we were wrong. It's going to take 2 or 3 years for it all to shake out, like you said. But I have a feeling that they're going to come back. The pundits are going to admit their mistakes, or not. They'll just ignore it. But I know I won't let them forget. But tonight, let's talk about tonight really quick. The Phoenix Suns play the San Antonio Spurs. We get Stephon Castle against Ryan Dunn tonight. That matchup is fascinating on several levels because they're both defensive studs. Castle was my number one overall pick in the entire draft. So that's the game I'm going to be watching tonight. Do you have any NBA action you're going to watch tonight?
I'm just looking at, there's a lot of NBA Cup games. Obviously, Bucks Pistons has some ramifications in the East because the winner of that, I believe, clinches Group B.
I think so.
in the in-season tournament, so that's going to be fascinating to me. Magic Knicks, the Magic have been just soaring ever since Paolo got hurt.
What does that say about Paolo?
Let me finish. Franz has been unbelievable. Aggregated. Spurs Suns is going to be a good one. Warriors Nuggets is always interesting. That's going to be on TNT with Steph versus Jokic. I'm just trying to see if anything else. Like, the Rockets have been unbelievable this year. They've been one of the best teams in the West. They play in Sacramento. Grizzlies Mavericks should be interesting for sure with John. Luka's back, right?
I think Luka's back. Yeah, I do believe Luka's back.
So there's a lot of fun NBA action on tonight, man. Again, final night of the Emirates Cup group stage play. I'm not sure the ramifications for all these games in terms of like who advances or whatnot, but I know in Group B within the East, the Bucks and Pistons have some pretty serious. I'm looking at it right here. It looks like San Antonio, they clinched their group with a win.
Oh yeah.
So
let's ask the audience a question really quick, Matt. Do you care about the Emirates Cup? I put the poll in the chat. Simple yes or no. Do you even care?
Oh, I love it.
I know you do, but I wonder if the audience at large cares. Because I myself have no interest at all. None. It's just another game to me. I'm just like, oh, it's cool. It's another game. It's the only thing I care about are championships.
That's more than fair. Not the NBA Cup championship? No.
No. I'm not hanging that.
I think that's more than
that
fair, but I think just for the average fan, maybe not even like the average fan, but like sicko, like not saying you're not a sicko.
I
think it adds more interest and intrigue to the early season games. And I think in these games, teams are more competitive.
So I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I think it does spur a little competition amongst the players, which is nice. Yeah. However, it still doesn't move the needle for me personally. Like, I just don't care.
That's fine.
Yeah. But I get it. I do like the increased competition. I do feel like players should play hard regardless. I guess they don't. Yeah. But if it does spur that engagement, then I like it. One quick thing tonight. I did a video on Boogie Flan for college basketball, a breakdown. I wasn't able to get it on the channel early in the season, so I'm going to try to do a breakdown tonight if I can. Maybe do it tomorrow. But if you haven't seen Boogie Flan play, this kid is awesome. I said this 2025 draft class is loaded. This kid is shooting a hyper, like 40% from three, 15 points per game as a freshman. He can handle, he can, you know, get in the passing lanes, play defense, finish at the rim. I really like him. So if you haven't had a chance, watch that Arkansas game tonight. Boogie Flan's playing ball. That's all I got. With that, where can people find you, follow, and get more of your work, Matt? And we'll get out of here.
At MPH_824_. That's my Twitter handle. You can find me writing at HotHotHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com. We're nearly a month into the college basketball season, and then Mountain West play gets going towards the end of December. I know a couple. It's weird. There's a couple matchups this week that open conference play, at least just for one game. So that's going to be interesting for me. In addition to watchplayback.tv/5RSN, you can see Adele, myself, plenty others from the Five Reasons Sports Network talk about the Miami Heat. I co-host a Skyforce pod with my guy Major Passons called The Force with Matt and Major. Super original, unique, state-of-the-art name for a podcast. Him and I, no creative ability. But that's neither here nor there. I have a lot of fun with
that. Ball,
again, we
talk
about
Keshawn
Johnson. We talk about Keshawn Johnson and Isaiah Stevens and sometimes Josh Christopher for 30 minutes every week. That's not actually what I mean, kind of, but you know it.
I do.
Just because of how good those guys are.
They are excellent.
But yeah, man, I'm doing a lot. I'm everywhere.
That's it. The man of the people, Matt Hanifin. I'm Digital Adele. Find me anywhere on social media under the moniker Digital Adele. on Twitter, which is soon for me to be deleted, Blue Sky, any other social media that you can think of. We're going to start a TikTok for all the young people, TikTok page, channel, video, feed, whatever you want to call it, where we simulcast this show onto TikTok. And we're going to continue to expand, man. Let us know what you think in the comments down below. Very interactive around here. If you put a comment on a video or a live stream, I tend to get back to you pretty quickly. And we're going to do it again Thursday. Our times are Tuesday and Thursday. I'm going to post the schedule. We are going to do this live every Tuesday and Thursday around the same time, anywhere from 3:30 to 4. The show will start depending on our busy schedules. And we've had a blast doing it. So thank you to everybody. I'll see you next time.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.